John chapter 14 is where we are, and we are talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to read John chapter 14 from verses 14. I'm all over the place again. My apologies. Verse 8 onwards to verse 17. Okay, just follow through as we read. Open your Bibles there, please. If you don't have one, you can see Robert Yeo. He'll get you one. Sorry, private joke. Okay, chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. And then we're going to fly over to verse 25. 25, "All these I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things that will and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." All right, then we can look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is always very exciting. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 13. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue? Parthians, Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadonia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" This is the word of God. Praise be to God. Traditional response. For years in the traditional church, or at least in the church, when we say, "This is the word of God," the response is always, "Praise be to God, because he brought the word of God to us." Before I go into my sermon, I want to just highlight this with you. What is an SKMC-er? I tried many, many dimensions of this, SKMC-an, SKMC-er, SKM-er, I don't know what else to call ourselves. But people who come and attend church with us, all right, I want to just give you a simple perspective. This is not just a run-up to the SKMCC Sunday, but this is something that we generally want to have. Okay, and for years, I can say this, for years I've been here. For years I've been trying very hard to say, you know, if someone were to come here, what would he experience? What would he feel? What would he leave with? And we've got pockets of this. The people in the assimilation team, the befrienders, the welcome, they're doing a good job. They bring newcomers downstairs, they meet up, they set up tables, they talk with them. And my question always is, after that, what happens? Okay, I shouldn't do a survey, but if you have been new or you are relatively new to us, you know, sometimes I'll be very candid and honest about this. First week, you are treated like a king. Second week, you are like the prince. Third week, you are left alone. Okay, don't think so, huh? All right, so now what we want to do is this. What I want to say to you is this. All of us need to be people who will welcome others. Of course, we know who the newcomers are. We want to welcome them, but we want them to feel very comfortable with us. We want them to be connected with us. We don't want to have all the corners of our church filled with cell groups only, but we want you, wherever corner, whichever corner you have choked already. Okay, all your cell groups have choked corners. Right or not? Yes, huh? You all laugh like as if never happened like that. So if you're a newcomer, you have no corners left in the church, okay? And you have to find don't know where. Notice that I'm always in the center, because I also got no corner to go to, right? And when we bring newcomers to you, we want to ask you that you be gracious to you know, be with them. So as a host, simple, host need to be helpful. Excuse me, where's the toilet? Toilet is there. You know, helpful. Oh, they, hello? You know, but you don't have to wait for someone to, like, tell you, ask you where's the toilet, right? If you see someone like this, can you just tell him, are you looking for the toilet? You know, helpful lah, all right? Then observant, all right? Same thing, yeah? You look at them and watch them, and if they look lost, you know, tourists we can tell, they look at map, they don't know where to go. People who come here, they try to look a bit okay because it's quite a confined place, but be observant. What do they need? Do they need a drink? Do they need a help? What is it they're looking for? This observant, right? Then we watch them. And then be sensitive. If the person is very shy, very, don't go and shove it down the person's throat lah. You know, three people come by, three people ask whether you want a curry puff or not. He say three times, don't be the fourth person to ask whether you want curry puff lah. Nasi lemak, yeah, our Sengkang staple, nasi lemak. We should, you know, have some ideas, yeah? So be sensitive, right? Know, you know, what they're feeling, and if you see a mother struggling with a child, be sensitive, you know, you know you can do some things. You know you can make a difference with all the people that come here, right? And then finally, be thankful. Why thankful? Thankful because we have a place like this. Thankful because people are coming. Thankful because someone has volunteered. I mean, the cell groups are always doing their refreshments, nasi lemak or not. It's still got some nasi lemak to eat, right? So we're thankful that that's happening. Thankful there's drinks. Thankful that there's a place to go. Thankful that God is bringing new people with us and we have got friends to make. Yeah. So as host, I should think of one more S, hosts, you know, we want to be part of this church. Why? Because this is my home. Yeah, this is the place that God has put me. I'm glad to be here. And then we work together as host. Okay? Is that all right? Can I? Okay. I forgot to just highlight an announcement. Actually, not so much of an announcement, by the way, but we want to extend our condolences to Annie, Betty, and Ryan, recent passing of their mom, and then for Pei also, and Keith, also recent passing of their loved one, their granddad. So again, these are not just kepo things, yeah, but these are all news that we, again, as family, then we go and extend our encouragement and our thoughts with them and tell them how we are. Okay, so sometimes we put all these news, it's not just for your information. Most of it is for your action, so that we are able to, again, be together as a family, to love each other. All right? Today is Pentecost Day. We must all respond like Pentecostals. Amen? Aye, there we go. Okay. Sorry, I'm a bit sell today. Okay. I feel this. Okay, today is Pentecost. Oh, wait, this is our sermon. Let's go to this. It's in your outline. Sorry. You can tell that things are not right when why is this happening like that? That's correct, right? I was trying to show you this. But it comes out the other way around. I don't understand. Anyway, okay. I showed you this slide some time ago, I think it was probably 2 weeks ago, that Good Friday, where Christ was crucified, resurrected on Easter Sunday, 31st March for us, Easter tide, the whole season of Easter brings us all the way to the 8th of May. And then the 9th of May is Ascension Day, where Christ rose, went up to heaven, 39 days after the resurrection. And Holy Spirit is given on the day of Pentecost, which is today, the 19th of March of May, 50 days after Easter. Right? And this is the day of Pentecost. Sometimes we make too big a deal out of it. Sometimes we don't make enough deal out of this. And in some sense, I feel a little bit a bit more cautious, a bit more, after what I did this morning, I feel a little bit more careful, because it's like introducing a well-known speaker. You want to introduce the person well, because that person has whatever, done so much and this and that. And in some ways, I feel that this is where God is to us this morning, the Holy Spirit being introduced again, being highlighted again. The Holy Spirit, from what we read in Scripture, is actually, if we could use this word, shy. It's interesting. We did this in our practice resurrection. The shy person of the Trinity, that out of God Father, God Son, and God Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit seems to be the one that is shy. He's not given a prominence in terms of the speaking. He's not given prominence in terms of the creation and the running of how things are. But upon the resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit to us, the Holy Spirit's prominence is brought up into the church life and into the Christian's life. But yet, he is a shy person of the Trinity. He doesn't function of his own. You don't see a being that is here and we all stand back and say, "Wow, Holy Spirit is working." You only see a person full of the Spirit, working, speaking the words of God, doing the things of God, thinking the thoughts of God, and then living his life fully for God, and you see the Holy Spirit working in that person. The Holy Spirit never says, "Worship me." The Holy Spirit says that I do all things because Jesus, and Jesus says this, he will point back to all the things that I've said to you, he will remind you of the words that I've spoken to you, and he will be your peace. So the Holy Spirit's presence is one that is, in a sense, and I say this with great qualifications, in a sense, dependent upon each and every one of you. How can that be? Let's look at what this scripture tells us. How can it be? The Holy Spirit is given us because of truth. And that's why the acrostic there is truth. Today, today's announcements, everything went according to that, right? The Holy Spirit is not given for us to display things about God only. The Holy Spirit's objective of God sending the Holy Spirit to us is so that we would live out truth, so that the truth of God will be revealed to people. And God's love for us and God's urgency for us is so that the truth will be spread, the truth will be spoken, the truth will be lived out. What is truth? Pilate, in that trial with Jesus, retorts this: what is truth? After all that evaluation, the scribes came, the high priest came and pressured Pilate and said, "You got to do this for us because this man shouldn't live. This man is creating trouble for us." He declares, "What is truth?" Because he's heard what truth is, he's heard what lies are, and he was stuck in a position that he had to decide whether he was going to please the people or he was going to stick to what is truth. And he says this: he went out to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Pilate decided upon hearing the words that this is true. What did Jesus say? Listen to what Jesus said in verse 37, the verse before that. "You are a king then," Pilate asked him. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Jesus is a master craftsman at this. In this one sentence, he just told Pilate what is true, who speaks the truth, and who is lying. And who are the people fabricating evidence against Jesus Christ? In this one statement, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Who among us dare to say that? Especially the ones of us who are more forgetful. We can't decide, can't remember, did this happen or it didn't happen? Who said what and where? And we don't have the confidence to say, this is it. But Jesus says this. Declares in front of Pilate, the one who holds life and death in his hands. He says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate goes out, choosing, I believe, to say that I believe this is true. And he goes out and he tells the Jews, I find nothing wrong with this. He crumbles under the pressure and crucifies Jesus, of course. But the word of God, the Spirit, what Jesus stood for, what Jesus lived his life for, is so that the truth of God will continue to be told, will continue to be lived out, will continue to exist in this world. And God chose you and I to live that out. He chose you and I to live out the truth of God so that it will continue to be the truth of God. In John 14:10, there's a scripture that's there. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe. What is the point of all this? That the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we could live our lives. But we cannot live our lives until we establish what we believe. Because whatever we believe is how we will live our lives. We need to believe who Jesus is. The Jesus that comes from God the Father. The Jesus that came to die for us. The Jesus that resurrected. How much of Jesus do you and I believe? The life of Jesus as He lived His life on earth. How much of that do we believe? Or how much have we convinced ourselves that since He's fully God, He is of a category totally different from us? I cannot live the things of God. I cannot walk the way Christ walked. We need to believe who Jesus is. We need to believe the Jesus lifestyle, that Jesus lived fully man. He had no extra help, but that everything that Jesus lived out, we can also live out. His lifestyle of knowing the Father and hearing exactly what He said can be a lifestyle that I choose, that I can do it. I can live this out. The lifestyle of Jesus. Do we believe? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? Don't you believe that the life that I live in total submission to God, Creator? Do you believe? Do you believe who Jesus is, both God and man? Do you believe the Jesus lifestyle, that we are able to walk our lives in such a way that we are living exactly like Jesus the man, pleasing God in all things? The words that I say to you, and I just want to highlight this to you. Jesus didn't live a life of silence. He spoke at appropriate times. He spoke right words at appropriate times. Today's context again, who speaks to the people in this world about who God is? Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came upon us. But the result of His presence is that words were spoken. Audible words that people could understand. It was not inaudible words. It was words that people, no matter what nation, what race, what language they spoke, they could understand what was being said. The truth will set you free, but the truth needs to be declared. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we will declare the truth. If our lives are not firm in Christ, living the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. And if we are not speaking the words of Christ, then I fear that the truth will be buried. The truth will not survive. We live in a time period where people would come to you, Christian or not, and they will speak words to you that are not true. And you and I, at least those who believe who Jesus is, we need to begin to speak the words of truth. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8, 32. It is impossible for us to know the truth if Jesus had not spoken the truth. If the words of Jesus had not come to us, we would not know. But yet the words of Jesus are spoken, and you are privileged. Not just my fault, but you are privileged to come to this place, whether it be in the worship and songs and the lyrics that someone has composed, whether it be in a sermon that is spoken, in the prayers that are made, in the teaching that is at ABF. You know, you hear so much of the Word of God. You are reading Scripture. You are hearing sermons over the net. You are having all these words come to you. The key thing that we need to ask is, do you know? Do you know the truth? Because the word believe in John 14:10 needs to be linked with the word know in verse 11. Do you believe? Do you know? Know is not just information. Believe is not just information. It is an action that comes out of it to put your life on the line. If you know, the word gnosko is an experiential word. It is not just an information that I'm getting. Oh yeah, Jesus lived his life that way. Okay, that's information. Jesus lived his life that way. Okay, and how do I live my life? How do I want to change my life? Do I want to have that same undivided heart that Jesus had? Oh, okay, I've got to set down something in my timeline. I've got to set down, if I'm a morning person, I'll set down a morning time when I'll spend time in Scripture, read, and allow God to speak to me. If I'm a night person, I'll do that before I go to bed. If I'm a neither night nor morning person, I will take my lunch time. And I'll just spend some time with God. To believe and to know are critical things when we come to know the truth, when we talk about the truth, because then knowing and believing will finally set us free. Knowing just information without any action in our lives will never set us free. The prisoner who is thrown in jail for something that he may not have committed, if he decides to just say, poor me, all these people are so cruel. They've ganged up against me. They've said wrong things against me. And I'm just here. Someday, somewhere, someone's going to speak for me. I hope so, God. I pray so, God. You know, God, would you have someone? I think that as Christians, we need to know the Word of God. And we need to speak to, not in your face, not necessarily aggressive and antagonistic. But we need to know the Word of God. We need to believe the Word of God. We need to base our life on this Word of God. What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived his life on the authority of the Word of God? And that's how he chose to live his life. And that set him free. He had no trappings. He had no overdraft. He had no car that he had to pay for. He walked occasionally on a donkey, borrowed. He didn't have a lot of clothes. He kept whatever he needed. And basically, he was free. He could live his life solely for the Father. Truth is what you believe. What you believe as truth to you will work itself out in your life, whatever you believe. There are so many injured people in our world who believe that they are lousy, that they are stupid because of somebody along the line that have said these words to them, who said that they could not do any better, that they could not do well in life, and they believed it. And because they believed it as truth, they continue to live their lives in the dumps. Jesus Christ came and said to us, that new life I give to you, that if you were to follow after him, you become a son of God. To everyone who believe in the name of Jesus, that he gives you the right to become the son of God, the children of God. Romans 1:12. Why? Why is it that we still live in the dumps? Because whatever you believe as truth in your life, that's how it will work out. If we don't choose to believe what the Word of God says to us, and if we don't choose to live our lives that way, then we would not be able to live our lives well. I said this to the workers this morning at 7:45 when we gathered to pray. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all else and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So if you are thinking of wanting to say, let me mold my heart, let me change my heart, forget it. The Word of God says that the heart is beyond cure. The only way you can get your life right is to do a heart transplant. And Ezekiel says that God will do that to us, that He will give us a heart of flesh, that one is that soft and pliable that the Lord Himself would give to us. So if you are walking alone and you are evaluating your life alone and you're saying, you know, I'm not so bad, I'm quite good, you know, I do this, I do that, and I'm just happy with myself. The heart is deceitful. We need to come together in partnership. We need to come together in accountabilities. We need to come together in authentic life. We need to share life with somebody else. Immediately, Ananias and Sapphira come to my mind. How they decided, the two of them, accountable to each other, husband and wife, collaborated to cheat the church. Then, by selling the house and saying, I give you a portion, the rest of the money I keep. And the disciples said to them, the apostles said to them, is this all that you had? And they paid the consequences for it. The accountability of our lives come as partners. Partners who are willing to speak into your life. Partners who are willing to say, why are you like that? Don't you think that God is asking you to do something else? Don't you think that God is asking you to live a different way? Why is your action, though seem so Christian, where is your heart? Where is your spirit? And God will deal with us. God will deal with us if your partner, your accountability partner, is living in the life of the Spirit. The Lord will speak this truth to us. How to discern the truth, the authority of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the one that tells us and witnesses to us over and over again where the Word of God is. So that's where truth, and truth will set you free. The second thing that we need to do is to rely on the authority of the Father. John 14:10, same scripture that we're looking at, 14:10 and 11. But look at this one verse. Jesus says the word Father three times. You believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. The authority is not my own, but it is the Father. You know, it continues to amaze me how we all as human beings, how I would rebel against authority. That's how the world is. Is it not right? We will rebel against authority. Why? Because someone would come along the way, whether it be a government or an organization or an agency or whatever, and they'll put down rules and regulations and everything else. And we would naturally want to rebel against that. We would naturally want to speak out against that simply because we are not given our right or our way to do things. We're not happy about that. Having grown up in this kind of environment, when it comes to the authority of the Father, we all struggle. We all struggle. And if you believe what I've said so far, that the Holy Spirit comes, and He doesn't come in a general form to give you an atmosphere. He comes and fills each one of us. And some of us are called to be leaders. Some, all of us are called to be disciples and disciple makers. But each one having different gifts are given different gifts by the same Holy Spirit. And we are asked to function as a church. But when we fight with one another, we are fighting with the man. We are fighting with the person. We rebel against the authority that this person is doing. But can you see this? Can you see the life of Jesus? And what He says is this, that the authority is not my own. Every word that I've spoken on the Father's authority. I have not chosen to speak of my own grouses. I have not chosen to speak of my own pain. I have chosen to speak of what the Father has to say. Verse 11, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The two verses tells us so clearly. Jesus, this is again very close to his crucifixion. If there were anything that you want to get right and be honest about it, you better do it now, because the next day he's going to die. The confession that Jesus makes over his life, his ministry, his lifestyle, is all this, that it is in the Father. It is in the Father living in me who is doing His work.
at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Friends, our Christian lives are obvious. I said this before, there are no secret Christians, there are no secret agents. The kingdom of God doesn't look out for covert agents that who will infiltrate and suddenly appear as a Christian. The kingdom of God are people who live their lives in truth. They rely on the authority of who sends him, and there are evidences of their lives. Anyone who lives in the Father, who's doing the Father's work, is evident in our lives. It can be seen. It can be seen by you in your own life. It can be seen by me in your life. It's evidential. The works of God is evidential to us. It's not meant, again, to condemn us. It is meant, again, like a mirror to help us to see who we are, where we are, and to carry on with God. It is under the authority of the Father that will cause us to lead our lives. What are the things that you are doing that you know in your spirit, you know in your heart, this is what the Father wants of me, and I'm doing it. Or at least to know that the outcome of whatever actions that you take, that they reflect the Father. They reflect God, whatever action that you take. The power for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. The kingdom of God is a matter of living out our lives. The kingdom of God is evidence. It's not power as in blowing you up power, but it is really power that in the midst of all my struggles, in the midst of betrayal, in the midst of hatred, in the midst of rejection, I still am able to live my life in the power of God. That I'm keeping my line, I'm keeping my work with God, I'm living my life in the fullness of God. This is what living in the power and authority of the Lord is. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can rely on the authority of God. The third thing is a you. Not you as in Y-O-U, but I use the short form of a you. You are going to manifest yourself to us. John 14:22. It's interesting, again, when I looked at this word truth, that the word you and the thought that I have, the you and I, and I've been saying this the whole morning, the Word of God is not devoid of human beings. Remember what we did in Ephesians chapter 6, the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil is to form a system and depersonalize the whole thing so that people are of no value anymore. The days of barcodes and digital and RF is common days today. I don't need to know your face. I only need to know your thumbprint and your RFID or your NRIC or something. And I don't really care whether you have 1 ear, 2 noses, or 3 eyes. I don't really care because we have depersonalized the whole thing. That's the wiles of the evil one. That's the way of the devil. But it comes back. And Judas says this to Jesus, you would show yourself to us and not to the world. You and I will live in privileged positions. That the Holy Spirit is given to us, you and I, and we are given privileged information. Privileged information. Jesus' reply to this question is simply because the world will not understand it. But there are certain people who will understand what I'm saying to them. If you are willing to come along with God, if you are willing to submit your life to God, you are given privileged information to live your life. To you is manifested the works of God. God will show himself to us. The fourth word, the fourth letter, that truth, teacher, a deep relation, verse 26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The teacher relationship, again, can I recalibrate your minds? The teacher-student relationship is not a lecture to a whole bunch of people. We find this kind of setup economically viable because all you have to do is to employ one lecturer and he can cover 200 people. Wow, good job, man. Good deal. But do the students actually learn? That's not my role. Because the lecturer just comes in, plonks his notes down. If he has PowerPoints, he prints and sends it to you all and says, okay, go print your own PowerPoints. He says his piece. And I hear some people saying that, you know, we never can understand what this lecturer is saying. And does it matter? No, it doesn't. Too bad. Go find your own notes. And he just pace, walks up and down, and he says a few things, and he says, lecture's over, and you go back, and you got to go and hunt for your own things, whether you do whatever you do. Jesus' understanding of the teacher is quite different. Jesus' understanding of the student-teacher relationship is quite different, because the words that he gives to us in the Scripture is sufficient for us to live our lives. It is the Word of God given to us that we can base our lives, but it is the Holy Spirit that comes in and brings it into our lives and makes the application in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit that comes and speaks to us that says, you know what? I'm not just giving you the information. This is how it's going to apply into your life. You know this little dolls? The Russian dolls. I don't know there's an actual name for it. But this is really a picture of Jesus and his disciples. This is a picture of the teacher-student relationship. That, you know, that doll on the extreme right, I guess that would be the teacher, right? But the teacher teaches, and it passes on. What I love about this particular picture, of course, is that not every... They're all, like, same, right? Right? They look same, huh? But colors are different. You can tell that they are distinct, but yet they're the same. You can tell that the second one came from the first one because you look at the face, they are the same. Then the third one from the... They're same. But yet I can tell you, look at the one with the green, the luminous green dress. Can you tell which one it is? I agree. Number three, he beat it three times. The third one, right? You can identify the person. That's the teacher-student relationship. You are able to tell. You don't lose yourself when you come into God, because God created you in His image. We are similar. We are there. We are asked to live a life of Christ. We are asked to live like the Father. What did the people in Acts say about the disciples when they went to preach the Word of God after Pentecost? I don't know who you are, but I know that you are uneducated men, but I know that you have spent time with Jesus. That's the word spoken about the disciples. You are all uneducated. You are uncouth barbarians. But I know that you are the one that spent time with Jesus because you look like Jesus. Friends, are we able to say that of each other? We who profess to know Jesus and live our lives for Him. The Father says that He will send us the Holy Spirit who will be a teacher, a deep relationship that we have with Him and ourselves. And I got to run. Finally, the Helper who is with us forever. And I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Today, we looked at this. That the Holy Spirit, being helped by the Holy Spirit of truth forever. I chose to take this word of truth because the Holy Spirit is given to us not just to demonstrate certain things, not just in the power gifts, but the Holy Spirit is given to us to live the truth of God in every single aspect of our daily life. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that He would help us to do the things of the Father, that we will rely on God the Father and we'll begin to do the work of God the Father in our lives as well as in the life of other people. The Helper who is with us forever is the promise that God has given to us. Today is the day that the Holy Spirit is given to us in church history. 50 days after the time of Christ, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Let's look at that passage now. Oh, I was going to talk about the crowns of life. Okay, before we go there, let's go look at the crowns of life. There are five crowns that are given to us. And as I prepared this, I was wondering, what will that truth do to us? What is the benefit of us living truth in Christ? And this is what the Word of God says to us. And you probably only can, I can only just introduce the Scripture to you. You can take it down and you can go back and look at it. There's a crown of life that waits for us. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials because he will be given the crown of life. It's promised to him, James 1:12. There is a crown that is incorruptible. Everyone who completes the game goes into strict training, they will do it to get a crown that will not be lost, that will not be lost, but we will do it to get a They do it to get a crown that will not last, speaking of the race and the athlete, but we will do it to get a crown that will last forever. You live your life in truth. Is there a purpose? Is there a reason why the Holy Spirit is given to us? It's so that we are able to gain a crown at the end of life. The third crown is the crown of joy. 1 Thess 2:19. For what is hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you? There is joy that the Lord will give to us as a crown when we persevere in our lives. There's a crown of glory that is given to us. Other people lord it over, but you, being examples to the flock, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. Speaking again to people who live their lives in truth, in the power of the Holy Spirit, relying on the authority of the Father, being able to speak the words of God. If you watch over these people, you will receive the crown of glory. And lastly, the crown of righteousness. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, but to anyone who is longing for His appearance. The Holy Spirit is not given to just our benefit to live for our own purpose. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that the church is able to overcome. And the church consists of every single one of us. Our journey is a journey together. Our journey is one in which we together as a people of God, we are working together to make sure that every one of us will receive these crowns. I don't think that there is a limitation in the number of crowns that the Father will give to the people who are faithful. But to everyone who will live their lives well, the Father says that He will give us that crown. Living in the kingdom of God, then, is what we are looking at. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we will live in truth in our daily lives, that we will interact, that we will live our lives in the power of God. Verse 3 and 4 in Acts chapter 2, they saw what seemed to be the tongues, seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. There is this myth, and I want to destroy this myth. This myth says that, oh, some of you, yala, the more holy ones, you get the Holy Spirit and you can do things. We are not. I don't know, and I don't believe in this kind of thing. We are of a certain denomination, or I grew up in a certain conservative denomination, and we don't do anything of this sort. These are for the charismatics and the Pentecostals and the whatever else. And then it's got so much trouble, got faith, healing, what prosperity, wealth, and all that. No. I just keep to myself and the word of God, and I just hear what I can hear, do what I can do, and try my best. That's a myth. That's a Christian myth. Because the word of God says that the tongues came and separated and rested on each one of them. It wasn't one general fire that came and just filled the place. It wasn't the cloud of Moses. It wasn't a tower of fire in the Exodus. It's changed. It's come and every single person received the Holy Spirit. And they lived their lives filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Acts encounter, everyone spoke in tongues. Again, I don't know what your persuasion is, but Paul says that amongst all of you, I speak most in tongues. But it is also Paul who said that it is better that I speak a word to your knowledge and to understand than to speak in a way that you don't understand. Again, if we're going to function under the authority of the Father, and if our objective is really to bring people to come to know who God is, I think that there's an appropriate place for both. There's an appropriate place for both. That there is a time when I'll say to you, no, don't use tongues. Just speak whatever language, and God has given you the power of language. Speak the truth in love. You're not going to be able to come to want to reprimand somebody who's not living their life in God, and you speak in tongues to that person, and the guy's what are you going to say to me? Huh? You're not helping that person to grow. But if we're going to come together and we are seeking God and we are praying and we are interceding, is it not a right time to ask and pray in tongues? It is. Because the Father understands all the tongues that we have. That's who God is. So we got to live our lives in appropriate ways, being following after the Father, living after the things that He wants to do with us. And the power that God has for us to live our lives is that the Holy Spirit will give to us. the power to live our lives. We are asked to live the resurrection. Friends, again, I'm not sure what you are thinking this morning after this presentation of who the Spirit is and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord is speaking with you for you to live your lives the way of Christ. I don't believe that the Lord is asking you, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I don't believe that the Lord is asking you to evaluate your life, then decide whether you want to follow God or not. Because that would be a shame. That would be a shame. Because wherever you are in your life now, whatever situation that you are facing, whatever lifestyle that you have chosen, I believe that God is calling us to first come back to the Father, allow the Holy Spirit. If you have not experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit, if you have not lived your life in obedience to God through the power of the Holy Spirit, then that's probably what you want to pray for. If you have tried so hard and in your particular situation and you say that I feel all alone, that I don't know how to resolve these things in my life, you probably need the Holy Spirit's presence. He's there, definitely. But you need to know that He's there. You need to surrender your life and say, God, would you take this? Because I want to live as an overcomer. If you've got situations with your spouse, you need the Holy Spirit, because He's the one that will bring you to that place where you can follow after Him. It is not just the intercession for other people, but today really first for ourselves, for you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He's stirring your heart. I know that the thing that the Holy Spirit has been stirring in my heart is to stop doing a lot of the things that I'm doing now and to start to spend a lot more time with God. I struggle with that, honestly. I'm pastor, but I struggle with that. I struggle because there's so many distractions. There's so many things that I got to put my hands into. Every project, it seems that I got to get involved. We need you to stand and rely on the authority of the Father, to have the heart of Christ, to understand the mind of a disciple, the mind of Christ, and begin to live our lives in obedience to God. I question a lot. Where is this place going? Where is this church going? Where is this? What is God asking us to do as a people of God? Friends, it's time we all come before God and say, God, I want to live in the kingdom. I want to live in the truth of God. I want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. That God, I know that I'm struggling with things. It doesn't go away. I know that. But God, I thank you that you are just resourcing me, strengthening me, living my life so that I can follow after you. Some of us need that encouragement of someone praying for you. I'm going to ask that we begin, prepare our hearts. The Holy Spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit is dealing with you. Some of you are feeling a bit uncomfortable. There's the Holy Spirit just nudging you and beginning to speak to you and say that, you know what, you really need my presence. You need to acknowledge me. You need to know that I am there in your life. You need to experience the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Today is the day of Pentecost. Today is where the Spirit is. Let's all stand together. Ryan, lead us in a song of worship. I'm going to invite you.